Hey, it's Jill Schlesinger, CBS News business analyst and certified financial planner. You may have heard me dispensing financial advice on the radio before, but did you know you can get my money tips on demand with my podcast, Money Watch with Jill Schlesinger? If you have a question about a major financial decision in your life, this is the show for you. Follow and listen to Money Watch with Jill Schlesinger on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Rob Brown Show is back on your radio. It is the Fan Upstate. Yo, good to have you. Rob Brown, the great Lonzo, and you. No, your radio broke. That was not my voice cracking. That was your radio?
I mean, you played it off good. Why go back to it? Just continue on.
because self-deprecation is my primary
Listen,
source of humor.
You don't need to make fun of yourself. I'll do it.
You know, I'm just a believer that if you make fun of yourself,
it does work.
Other people are either less inclined to do so because they're like, why am I going to pile on the guy? He hates himself enough already.
Yeah, I walk in the room and declare, hey, fat guy here. Just all ammunition gone.
Yeah. Yeah. There's nothing.
Because I'm beautiful. So, you know, I take the fat away. They can't. I mean, there's nothing else they can say.
Take the fat away. I'm trying. Oh, man. I don't know if you know this. Upstate South Carolina. I am unsure if you are aware, so if you're not, allow me to be the first to inform you and allow me to be the first to wish you a very happy football day in America. That's the loudest that applause has ever been.
It needed to be.
Yeah, no. It's if there was ever an occasion for that applause to reach max volume, this is it. You know, I've had a lot of conversations over the past few weeks with a lot of media dudes, with SEC Media Days, ACC Media Days, as a result of my attendance at those two events. I have been on, I haven't counted, but I would guess somewhere in the neighborhood of like 25 to 30 shows and podcasts around the country over the past couple of weeks.
Thank you for spreading the good news of the Fan Upstate.
Oh, 1,000%. I pimp the hell out of us. You better believe it. So I've done
I hear pimping ain't easy.
Pimping ain't easy, but somebody's got to do it. Might as well be a Big Daddy Brown over here, which is now what I will refer to myself as the rest of this show. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome into the Big Daddy Brown Show. Sorry, wait. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Big Daddy Brown Show.
Sorry, I heard it in a Dusty Rhodes accent, but that's just me.
Welcome to the Big Daddy Brown Show.
That's better for me. Anyway.
You listening to this show is like a dream. So I've talked to a lot of media dudes the last couple of weeks, and one of the conversations that's been had by media dudes quite a bit is, oh man, it's the hardest, you know, 2-3 months of the year, the time off between spring and summer / early fall camps, not a lot of football going on. It's tough. And my response to all of them has been,
I hope these are young kids telling you this.
No, actually, to be honest with you, it's the other way around.
I mean, listen, we survived COVID with no sports.
Yeah.
I mean, is that so far out of these guys' minds that they forget what they had? Although maybe they didn't thrive during that time. We did. We won awards. So, I mean, you know.
What I found, and this is I can say it's anecdotal, all right? There's no numbers for this. It's extremely anecdotal. But anecdotally, I have found that specifically across the South and specifically with, I'm going to use the phrase older. What I just mean is like, older than me. Guys that are older than me, a lot of those guys, because they've been in the game a long time, and college football is, unless you were in an NFL city, college football is king across the Southeast. Their shows are college football shows. And they get into a point when we hit those doldrums where there just is no college football outside of the business of college football. They say, oh, it's the hardest point of the year, and now it's easy coasting. I will say this. The Rob Brown Show is in all the sports show. We're going to talk NBA. We're going to talk MLB. We're going to talk NHL. We're going to talk MLS. We're going to talk international soccer. We're going to talk UFC. We're going to talk pro wrestling. We're going to talk. We're going to talk. We're going to talk. However, I would be lying to tell you that this morning, maybe even more so than Monday, when the acknowledgement was, hey, I got to do three shows before we do a show on a football day. This morning, when I tell you, there was a little pep in the step. There's a little hitch in the giddy up. There was a little wagging to the wheel. I was ready. This AM, I'm a, to the chagrin of my dearly beloved, I'm a like 4 or 5 snooze button guy. When I got to get up at 3:30 in the morning, I'm like a 4 or 5 snooze button guy. I'm not a morning guy. Especially not a, it's still definitely night morning guy.
You are hurting the person who's there with you by not turning that thing off and getting up.
1,000%.
Because they have to keep waking up when you keep going back to sleep.
1,000%. I have tried my best to find the discipline required of me to not do that, and it's just not there. All right? It's just not in there. I try to be better than that. But it was a little different this AM. It was a little different this morning. The alarm hit at 3:30 this morning, and I will self-acknowledge, I am a first alarm at 3:30, and then it's 3:45 or 3:35, 3:40, 3:45, and then I have the emergency 3:50 alarm. If I get to that one, that's the one where the setting on the phone has the volume dialed up to a 1,000. If that one goes off, You're gonna wake up under the assumption we are under some sort of attack. And this AM, the 3:30 alarm went off, and it was like, let's get to it. Let's go to work. Time to make the donuts.
I'm glad you were here and on time, because if you weren't, that would have been a problem this morning.
Would have been a major problem. No, I was not just here and on time. Your boy was in the building early this AM, because I was wired. I'm like, it's football day. It's football day in America. And I'll even tell you, I got a long-ass day ahead of me. I got to drive to Atlanta and back today. I got to drive to Atlanta to take care of some business this AM, some big stuff. Got to drive over there, pick up something, immediately bring it back to the GVL. That is going to be, and it's on the other side of Atlanta. I'm looking at, when I get off of work, cut the promos, get in the car, I'm going to be in the car for like 6 to 7+ hours, because I also have to drive back through Atlanta at rush hour. I'm in for a long-ass day just to hopefully get back to the crib in time to sit down, put some chicken on the Blackstone, and watch kickoff at 7 p.m. And I got to tell you, even knowing, got to pop in the car to the ATL and back in rush hour traffic, you still can't dull my shine, baby. You can't spoil this day for me. You can't ruin it. You can't take nothing from me. Boys, girls, ladies, gentlemen, we are going to have a day. And that day starts at 7:08 right now, because even though we are now officially on the clock, less than 12 hours to kickoff, you still got to go through 8 of those hours at work, dealing with the bull crap you got to deal with at the office. You're going to take your break. You're going to talk sports. You got to know what's going on. It's this. Tis indeed the water cooler cheat sheet, the top 3 sports stories that you need to know before you get to the office and start talking sports. I was very tempted, being the raging smartass that I am sometimes, I was very tempted to make item number 1 Indy at Baltimore, item 2 Cincinnati at Philly, item 3 Las Vegas at Seattle. I didn't do that. All right? Instead, let's start with item number 1. Indy's at Baltimore, Cincinnati's at Philly, Las Vegas is at Seattle. Item number 1 is, once again, it's football day, people. We got 3 preseason games on the line this evening. We open at 7 o'clock p.m. If you are looking at a clock right now, you'll notice it's 7:09 a.m. right now. That means we have less than 11 hours, 51 minutes, and 10 seconds until we kick that game off tonight. Not that anybody's keeping track.
Plenty of time to get your snacks together.
Or
at least think about what your snacks are going to be for later.
I'm going to pop into the grocery store on the way back from the ATL. You know what? I'm Team Blackstone Griddle now. I'm a huge fan. I've used it so much. I found a recipe that I want to try. I don't know recipe. I found a way to make griddle top wings, and I haven't done it yet, but I'm all in for that tonight.
Sounds like a lot of work that I don't know if you'd be willing to do tonight after that long drive. I mean, I don't know.
It is absolutely shocking. My wife has described me. I'm like a dog. I'm food motivated. All right. Like there are two types. When you train a dog, there's two ways to train them. Some are food motivated. Some are play motivated. Right? Some you train by every time they do the good thing, you give them a treat. And every time you do the bad thing, you deny them the treat. Some are play motivated. Every time they do the good thing, you run over and you scratch them and you go, atta boy, good boy, good boy, good boy. And every time they do the bad thing, you scold them, you go, bad dog. And then you turn your back on them and act like you're mean. I'm food motivated. It is going to be a lot of work, and I am going to be frustrated after 6+ hours in the car to Atlanta and back. But if you tell me, Rob Brown, if you nail this, you will add to the repertoire the opportunity to make homemade, better than restaurant caliber chicken wings right there in your own backyard. Oh, I'm food motivated. Hell yeah. Three NFL preseason games tonight. The first at M&T Bank Stadium in Baltimore, Maryland. The Ravens hosting the Colts. If you're a psychopath, too far for even me is betting on NFL preseason games. Even I can't do that. Indy minus 6. Cincinnati's at Philadelphia, Lincoln Financial Field in Philadelphia, home of the reigning, defending, undisputed NFL world champion. Cincinnati favored by 5.5, and that one, it will kick off at 7:30 p.m., and then we wrap it up in the p.m. slot, 10 o'clock in the p.m. spot, live from Lumen Field in Seattle, Washington, when the Seahawks led. Maybe, I don't know if he's playing or not yet. I got to look up the reports. By Sam Darnold and his fat contract will host Pete Carroll, Ashton I think that's a highlight. Ashton Janti and the Las Vegas Raiders tonight. There are two running backs from this class that I'm very, very interested in following this year. The first plays for the L.A. Superchargers. He is Amarian Hampton, former running back from the North Carolina Tar Heels. He's the dude that I told you leading up to the NFL draft. I think he might be the most underappreciated player in the NFL draft. I can do this, I promise. I'm really excited. Shut up. I think Amarian Hampton, the hot take if you want it, I think Amarian Hampton might be the best running back in this class. I think he might be better than Ashton Janti. Everybody's super high on Ashton Janti. Why wouldn't you be? Ashton Janti had numbers last year that were like EA Sports College Football 2025 caliber numbers for Boise State. But as has been mentioned, in the couple of games against Power 4, 3, 2 schools, Ashton Janti's numbers were pretty average, pretty regular. So what's he going to do, brother, when everybody across from him is an NFL All-Pro player? Or is at least a college All-American caliber player. I don't know. We're going to find out. We're going to find out about Ashton Janti tonight. One of the two running backs I'm most excited about seeing play out. We will see if he is going to make his debut and for how long tonight. But we got to get to, very quickly, item numero dos. Four very quick baseball stories. I'm going to knock them out. 1, 2, 3, 4. Let's start with this one. The Blue Jays making history last night. They swept the Colorado Rockies. Not news. Everybody sweeps the Rockies. News, 3 games, 45 runs, 63 hits. I don't know that the Braves have 63 hits on the season. Toronto had that. Here's why I bring this story up. Number one, the 45 runs is the most in Blue Jays history, in a single series in their history. There are only, that I was able to find, one or two other teams that put up more than 45 runs in a 3-game series. Number two, the 63 hits in the series are the most by any one team in any 1-3-game series dating back to the year 1900. Lonzo was 8. It's been a minute.
7.5.
63 hits. They average. I'm bad at math. Real bad at math. That's why all my jobs are words jobs. 63 hits means that in 3 games, This team averaged 21 hits per game. Averaged 21 hits per game. I have two takeaways. Number one, my belief that I espoused on BetMGM tonight on Tuesday night when I sat in, when I did my guest spot with Ryan Horvat and Brad Evans, which you can hear every single weekday night here on the station. And by the way, I'll be hosting that show tomorrow. Final Friday night hosting session for Rob Brown on BetMGM tonight as Brad Evans makes his return to the regular Friday night slate starting next week. So, I told him, I think the Yankees are still the best team in the AL East. And I'm not saying that they will win the division. I'm saying in the playoffs, I think the Yankees, a team that was in the World Series last year, are still the most likely to get there. Now, granted, the Yankees are having a spectacularly bad run since the beginning of June. The Jays, on the other hand, are not. The Jays have been beyond solid. I think had a better trade deadline than a lot of people gave them credit for. And what they just did to the Colorado Rockies is like borderline criminal. Like it's assault. The cops should have been called. This team's really good. The second take I have is the Rockies are interesting. Because on one hand, if what just happened to the Rockies happened to the Pirates, the calls for the Pirates ownership to sell the team would be echoing across these entire United States. They're not there for the Rockies, despite the fact that historically the Rockies have been putting the ass in not so fantastic. And nobody's calling for that. You know why? Because the Rockies also have one of the most traveled to stadiums in baseball. Because the Rockies also have one of the most beautiful stadiums in baseball. One of the most fan-friendly and fan-forward experiences in Major League Baseball. Rockies fans are still going 30,000 strong to Rockies game to watch a team that just allowed 45 runs and 63 hits in three games. Because they make the games entertaining, if nothing else. Do you see what I'm talking about here? If your owner sucks as an owner, but at least the games are like worth your money, even if the team's not, at least you got that going for you, which is nice. Very quickly, Roman Anthony, rookie for the Boston Red Sox. I know there's a lot of Red Sox fans around here. 8-year extension for the number one prospect in baseball. Not a prospect anymore. Got called up in early June across 46 games, batting .283 with two dongs and 19 ribbies. He signs an 8-year contract extension with a $5 million signing bonus. The total for $130 million. Escalators could take it up to $230. We're going to talk about that. Shohei Ohtani becomes the third Japanese player in history to reach the 1,000 hit mark. He did it last night in a 5-3 defeat to a listless St. Louis Cardinals team. The 1,000th hit for Shohei Ohtani, a 109.5 mile an hour exit velocity, gigantic dong, and Oppo Taco last night for Shohei. He joins Ichiro Suzuki and Hideki Matsui as the only Japanese-born players to hit 1,000. Also went four stellar innings off the bump last night. Here's what's interesting. The Dodgers are 13-17 since the start of July. And announced yesterday in our final baseball story, MLB will have its first female umpire in a Major League Baseball game. Jen Paywall will work this weekend's contest between the Marlins and the Braves. Will work the bases in Saturday's doubleheader at Truist Park on Sunday. Rob Manfred put out a statement saying, quote, "This historic accomplishment in baseball is a reflection of Jen's hard work, dedication, and love of the game. She has earned this opportunity, and we are proud of the strong example she has set, particularly for all the women and young girls who aspire to roles on the field." The 48-year-old from New Jersey did work spring training games in 04 and 05. She will be the fifth umpire to make their debut this season. Good on Jen. Just be better than C.B. Buckner. I'm begging you, please be better than C.B. Buckner. If you're better than C.B. Buckner, I will celebrate the hell out of you.
Will you go at her like you go at everybody else?
Yes, okay. Yes. All right. Anybody who sucks at their job gets gone after. Man, woman, boy, girl, straight, gay, Catholic, Christian, atheist, Jew, Arab, don't care. If you suck at your job, you can catch this smoke. Do you feel me, sir? Very quickly, item number three. Turns out smelling salts aren't banned after all. Did you see the absolute chaos of the smelling salts story in the NFL yesterday?
Yeah, George Kittle was not happy.
George Kittle was mad. Baker Mayfield was mad. He was ticked off about it.
But it turns out it's BYOSS, I guess. I've never tried it. But I mean,
what a rager Lonzo's throwing. BYSSS, guys. BYOSS.
Well, they're allowed to. They're allowed to use it. They just got to bring their own.
Yes, they are. I actually want to talk about this for a second, and we'll do it in the next segment because the next segment is a bit of a short segment. I want to talk about this because it is one of those things that, and I pointed out, sometimes it is a good idea when something it feels like this is really too ridiculous to talk about to take a step back. There is actually a really good reason the NFL did this. The players hate it, but there's really a good reason for it. And I want to explain it. God, this is twice in a week I'm defending Roger Goodell.
About time you came around. Best commissioner in sports.
Absolutely not.
Best commissioner in sports.
Absolutely not. But I do have his back in the next segment of the Rob Brown Show on the Fan Upstate.
Hey, it's Jill Schlesinger, CBS News business analyst and certified financial planner. You may have heard me dispensing financial advice on the radio before, but did you know you can get my money tips on demand with my podcast, Money Watch with Jill Schlesinger? If you have a question about a major financial decision in your life, this is the show for you. Follow and listen to Money Watch with Jill Schlesinger on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Texture said, Rob, if you got to go to Atlanta, just stop at Magic City. I'm not going to do that today. Now, two things. Number one, if you missed it, I did stop at Magic City when I was in Atlanta for SEC Media Days. I finally got to Magic City. I did go into Magic City because to pick up your Lemon Pepper Lou William wings, you have to go into Magic City. I will acknowledge that I went into Magic City on a Wednesday at like 5 in the afternoon.
Did you, I forgot to ask you this when you talked about it during SEC Media Days. Did you happen to have singles with you?
No, I did not. We did not. Okay. Genuinely, like I was.
That would be an indicator that you weren't just there for that.
No, and, I am absolutely.
Rob don't carry cash, so don't try to roll him.
Rob does not carry cash
in the parking lot. So
Rob does not carry cash, and I will also tell you, I am the dude that will 1,000% tell you if I'm going to a gentleman's club, I'll tell you I don't care. Like judge away. I'm a 40-year-old man. All right. I will acknowledge.
Which I've never been, but I think those are the kind of people who actually go to those places.
Yeah.
Right? About that.
I will straight up. There ain't no shame in my game. I have been to, and I will probably at some point in my life again. Now, I'm like 40, mediocre, and married now, so like my reasons for ending up in a gentleman's club don't exist anymore.
What's a mediocre have to do with anything? Do you have to be exceptional to go
to
those places?
No, I'm more of like I'm not the party dude I used to be.
Okay.
When I was like the life of every party. Yeah, well, like there were nights where party'd wrap up at 2, and the boys would be like, "Hey, you want to hit the gentleman's club? Sure, why not? We got nothing better to do, and I'm not ready to go to bed. Why not? Right? It's the only thing that's open. Let's go." You know, the it is what it is. I'm not too ashamed to admit it. That is why you can trust me when I tell you I went to Magic City to get the lemon pepper wings. That was it. I did not know. In fact, we thought me and P1 who went with me, who was in Atlanta that week, and was like, "Yo, I know it. Let's do it." When we went, we did not know we had to go in to get the wings. We thought you got them from like a little side hustle.
You just made it sound like that he was frequent there because he said, I know it. Let's
no, he's
do
just,
it.
He's lived in and worked in
no,
Atlanta.
No, I get it. I just wanted to make sure you clarified that because I wouldn't want that to.
Yeah,
you know.
this cat lives here but works in Atlanta.
Since I know who it is.
Yeah.
I was just,
lives here, works in Atlanta, and lived in Atlanta when he was in his 20s. So he ended up there many times. Not so much anymore. Also married with a kid. So blah, blah, blah. I went there to get the wings. And if you missed the review of it, long and short of it was this. I don't know that the wings were good enough that, like Lemon Pepper Lou, I would have skipped out on a couple of NBA game checks for them. I will absolutely tell you that if I lived in Atlanta, I would absolutely order Uber Eats Magic City wings on the reg. The Lemon Pepper Lou wings were lemon pepper wings, which ordinarily are dry rub wings. And I'm not a big dry rub guy because most wing restaurants, they either get the texture of the outside correct and the chicken on the inside's not great, or they get the chicken on the inside perfect, but the outside's too crispy. So ordinarily, I like a little sauce. I like saucy wings. Like me, saucy. The lemon pepper Lou wings were perfectly done. The texture on the outside was perfect. The chicken on the inside was cooked perfectly. They're ordinarily lemon pepper wings or ordinarily dry rub wings. These were not. They actually took the lemon pepper and they mixed it in with a light, and I think this was the key, a light coating of like a tangy honey barbecue sauce. So it wasn't like, when I say saucy, I don't mean like the sauce was falling off the bone. I mean like a light coating of honey tangy barbecue sauce with the lemon pepper in the sauce and then on top of the wings, but the wings were cooked perfectly. Would I drive to Atlanta specifically for the Magic City lemon pepper Lou wings? No. If I am in Atlanta, and I'm going to be there for, like, if we end up back, now SEC Media Days will not be back in Atlanta next year. It is going to rotate around the country like the Olympics moving forward. But the next time it's in Atlanta, if we are there, 1,000% Magic City wings will be on the menu. They were delicious. All right. Let me very quickly go over, because it yesterday it kind of turned into this kind of goofy fun story, and I think a lot of the NFL guys were having some fun with it. The NFL announced yesterday morning that players would no longer be allowed to use smelling salts. You ever used smelling salts before, Great One?
When I nearly passed out, yes.
Okay.
When I got my cast off of my leg after wearing it for 9 months,
yeah.
I started seeing glitter and was on my way back down. And before I could get back up, the doctor put, yeah, that's only once. That was enough for me. I never want to have to use that again.
Can you? Because I've never used them. Can you, in like 15 to 30 seconds, describe that experience to me? Like the actual smelling of the smelling salts.
All right. Have you ever had cold water thrown on you?
Yeah.
It's like that.
What's the smell
instantly? By the way, this was 1987, so I don't remember exactly what. I want to believe it was an ammonia-like smell, but again, it's been a long time, and smelling salts may have evolved since then. I don't know.
So I found yesterday a podcast. I think it's called The Best Friends Pod. A couple of comedians that do a podcast. And they did what I have to tell you I intended to do today. I went yesterday, after we got done with dinner, I went to try to find smelling salts.
Those clouds look like something that an alien would come out of. And
ominous.
Yeah.
You're not wrong. Very ominous. Very Independence Day. Yesterday after dinner on the way home, I stopped at two different places trying to find smelling salts. I was going to bring them into the show today, and I was going to do them. I wanted to try. I've never done smelling salts, and from the amount of George Kittles and Baker Mayfields and, oh God, there was a wide receiver on, I forget who it was, with Bay Adams yesterday, and all of them were like, I use a hit every drive. It's like a jolt.
I do wonder if there's a difference between the smelling salts that the NFL is using and the ones that actual medical professionals use. I don't know.
So I was going to stop and I was going to find them and I was going to bring them in today. And I want to try them because I want to find out what the take was about it. And I was going to do it live on the air. I could not find them. I am going to try again today. And if I can find them for purchase immediately, I will bring them in tomorrow and I will do it live on the stream just to see what it's like. But I did find a couple of comedians on a pod yesterday that did it. They went and found them and they tried them live on the air. One of the dudes, when I tell you, he took a sniff, came out of his chair, and he said, "Dude, that is rank." He said, he described it as, and I don't know a way around it. He described it as the smell of acidic cat urine. That's how he described it. Like, you ever had a cat, like a feral or a cat that's maybe not litter box trained yet, and they pee on the couch and it's got that really ammonia smell to it? He said it's like that, but as intense of a smell as you have ever had into your nostrils, and it's like acidic. It burns to some degree. So I really do want to try it. Maybe I can quit with the energy drinks and just carry around a box of smelling salts and pop one of those every now and then.
All right, according to the internet, you can get them at Target, at Walmart, at CVS.
I will tell you very simply that I hit one of those three last night, and I did not see any. So I will stop at all three today and try to find him. Now, here's the reason I brought this up. The reason I bring this up is while George Kittle and Baker Mayfield and all these guys were like, this is dumb, we need to find a compromise, and that's good. They did apparently find a compromise. The reason that the NFL banned smelling salts, and I'm sure some of these players knew this. In fact, I know for a fact Baker Mayfield addressed it yesterday. The reason that the NFL, despite the fact that many players apparently swear by smelling salts is their little jolt before they get onto the field, is that that pop to the senses wakes your brain, puts your brain into overdrive. The reason the NFL banned it, and this is why when decisions get made, right? We've had these conversations when you look and there are, you know, silly laws on the books. And anybody goes, why the hell would that ever be a law? And then you really dive in and it's like, oh, there actually was a good reason. Maybe that reason doesn't stand anymore. Well, the reason the NFL banned smelling salts for a day actually is a good reason. Because smelling salts, as Lonzo just without intentionally doing, did point out that if your brain is struggling because you stood up too fast, or I don't know, you took a shot to the noggin by a whole ass NFL player, if your brain is injured and not working at full capacity, by which we know now, the NFL has tests for this, multiple tests with multiple data points that they can, if you believe the tests are accurate, and I am willing to give them the benefit of the doubt because of player safety, are capable of empirically showing via metrics this person's brain is not normal right now, which is what the NFL is doing in order to protect from concussions, CTE, et cetera, et cetera. So the reason they wanted to ban smelling salts was that so if a player takes a shot to the dome and comes off the field, if they have to go talk to the independent third-party neurologist on the sideline, the guy who, aside from an independent of the team, makes the decision that this player can or cannot go back into this game. Well, if the brain is fuzzy foggy, which has happened to me, I've taken a bump to the noggin, relatively sure, high school, junior year, got dizzy during the, you remember the leapfrog drill where like there's three guys and the guy on the left jumps over the guy in the middle and he rolls and then he rolls over and the guy on the right jumps over that guy. You know the leapfrog drill? We were doing that as defensive linemen to improve our up-down speed. And for whatever reason, it made me dizzy. I fell. I went quite literally top of my head first into a helium tank that for some reason was in the football weight room. And I was foggy, dude. Like foggy. That's a combination of fuzzy and foggy. I was foggy. I was not good. And my coach, who I've told stories about, Don Arthur, was like, you're fine, Brown. Get back up and get back in there. He was like Mick from Rocky.
So after a recent rail slide incident, if you would have had some smelling salts, you would have been okay for the concert.
Honestly, well, I was actually okay for the concert anyway, because I think at this point, the brain's just like, deh, can't do much worse at this point. All right, this dude's taking some shots to the noggin. He's fine. But the reason
like
the NFL...
a bruised banana.
The reason that the NFL was going to ban smelling salts before an uproar from the players, and there is a compromise in place now, was because there is no doubt that if a player takes a shot to the dome and they come to the sideline, because they got to get checked out by the independent third-party neurologist, a pop of smelling salts would jolt the brain back awake and potentially allow them to pass a test they wouldn't otherwise pass, would pass a test. So the NFLPA sent a memo to players yesterday that indicated the union sought clarification on the league's ammonia ban, which apparently is what is primarily in smelling salts is ammonia. That's why it smells like, and I quote, hot acidic cat urine. On Tuesday, the NFL sent a memo to all 32 clubs stating that clubs are prohibited from providing or supplying ammonia in any form at NFL games. But A court after the pushback from George Kittle, Levante David, Baker Mayfield, et cetera, et cetera. The NFL has since clarified that while NFL teams are still no longer allowed to provide ammonia, smelling salts, to NFL players, players apparently are still allowed to bring and utilize their own. So I don't really know what the point is. Like, yeah, you can't have that. I mean, you can have it. We just can't give it to you. All right, what's the difference? But it's very simple, a case of players pushed back. The NFL had a good reason for the ban, but they did not. Take a lesson here, Utes of America. They did not communicate why they were doing this. And the gut instinct and reaction was, this is Roger being a draconian authoritarian tyrant once more. The reality is they had a really good point. They just didn't really explain what it was. And I'm never going to have an issue. The one place that I will always defend the ginger hammer is when player safety is genuinely, sincerely being looked after. And I think that was their case, even if it was executed poorly. Let's take a break. When we come back here on the Big Daddy Brown Show, we got three NFL preseason games tonight. There is at least one, maybe two dark horse teams that I'm interested in this year. I'm going to tell you about some of my favorite dark horse NFL teams next on the Rob Brown Show in the Fan Upstate.
Hey, it's Jill Schlesinger, CBS News business analyst and certified financial planner. You may have heard me dispensing financial advice on the radio before, but did you know you can get my money tips on demand with my podcast, Money Watch with Jill Schlesinger? If you have a question about a major financial decision in your life, this is the show for you. Follow and listen to Money Watch with Jill Schlesinger on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Big Daddy Brown Show is live on the Fan Upstate. It is the Rob Brown Show. Great to have you, Rob Brown. The great Lonzo Texter said, did Rob stay and eat the wings there? If so, he stayed for the atmosphere, in quotations. This Magic City thing is apparently, once again, I shouldn't say taking on a life of its own, as Lou Williams gave it a life of its own 5 years ago during the pandemic, which was 5 years ago.
You have kept it alive because you wanted to go there and see if the wings were worth it.
And I did.
And you did.
So. And they were. I, as a matter of fact, dear texter, did not stay and eat the wings there. In fact, myself and buddy of the show, P1, who was with me, that was the night of the MLB All-Star game. So actually it was Tuesday, not Wednesday. It was the night of the All-Star game. We had already made plans to meet up. We were initially going to go down to the Battery and watch it there. But when I got back to the hotel room from SEC Media Days, the lady, the nice lady on the local news who was live at Truist Park, was like, look, if you don't have a ticket to the game, don't come here. Traffic is backed up for 2 miles to get to the stadium, and people are reporting that they are having to park as far as 2 miles away to walk to the stadium. So we were like, yeah, let's not do that. We made plans. He had a little dive bar in downtown ATL that was kind of out of the way. Interestingly enough, fun little story, this dive bar is apparently, when Inside the NBA on TNT films in Atlanta, this is the dive bar that Chuck Barkley goes and hangs out and drinks at after they're done filming. And apparently, like, he brings Ernie and the boys there every now and then. There are pictures of Chuck in that bar on the wall just hanging out with people. And just about everybody in there had a story of an interaction with Chuck. Apparently, Charles is the dude who, if you go up to him while he's there trying to have a bevy, he'll just be like, hey, man, thanks, nice to meet you, but, like, I'm just here to have some space. But Chuck is also the dude that after a handful of tequila shots becomes best friends with everybody in the bar. And now I am on a mission to be at that bar one night when Chuck Barkley comes in. Like, it's just it's a bucket list item for me. Anyway, we got the Magic City Wings because, again, I'm not saying I won't go one night to Magic City for the, quote, atmosphere, end quote. I absolutely will. There's a part of me that kind of wants to go there on a Sunday where the Saints are in town, because it is very much rumored that NFL guys will go to Magic City after games. And I just want to go see which of the fellas wants some lemon pepper Lou wings. I'm in. I'll go to a gentleman's club. I don't care. Judge me. I accept your judgment. We took the wings. We got them in a to-go bag, and we brought them like the absolute civilized adult human beings that we are. And we ate them in the parking lot of a dive bar sitting in the back of a pickup truck. That's how I know they were good. Because I was more concerned with the wings.
Like on the tailgate?
Yeah.
Like
we pulled his truck into the bar parking lot.
I didn't know
if
you were like in the back seat of the...
Nope.
Okay.
Like an old school football tailgate. We had a cooler that we had packed for the soccer game the next night. We had one dozen Magic City lemon pepper Lou wings. We opened the tailgate to the pickup truck. We sat on that. We had a parking lot beer and lemon pepper Lou wings. And they were great. If somebody rolled up with those wings to the tailgate party, they are catching a permanent invitation to the tailgate party. With the caveat of, you bring those every time. That's how good they were. I did not go for the environment. I went because I spent 5 years saying lemon pepper Lou gave, and I mean it, the greatest endorsement of any product ever by skipping out on NBA game checks to go get those wings. If I could get y'all to activate on an endorsement the way that Lemon Pepper Lou did for Magic City Hot Wings, I'd be a gazillionaire by now. All right, let's talk some NFL football. We got three NFL preseason games on the docket tonight. Indy at Baltimore, Cincy at Philly, Vegas at Seattle. Indianapolis is interesting. They've got some talent. There's obviously been a lot of, ever since Andrew Luck turned over, a lot of question marks. The big question mark, obviously, this year is Anthony Richardson. Of all qualifying quarterbacks last year, Anthony Richardson had the lowest completion percentage in the National Football League. Anthony Richardson last year, I do think it is too early to call a bust. I am going to say, if the numbers are the same this year, we will call him a bust. Michael Pittman Jr., Josh Downs, Alec Pierce. This is a problem that I have with this team. A problem that I have with this team is Scott Steichen, I think, is absolutely one of the better offensive coaching minds in the National Football League. But I think there's a roster construction problem. Jonathan Taylor is one of the best running backs in the National Football League. Having that resource as both a runner and a pass catcher out of the backfield should be a huge boon for Anthony Richardson this year. The problem is outside of that. Who are we getting the ball to down the field? Michael Pittman Jr. is the best you're going to be able to give me right now. Last year, 69 grabs, 808 yards, 3 touchdowns. And a dude that is going to get you 6 catches a game. I think he averaged about 5.5 to 7 catches per game last year. That's the best we're putting out there. This is one of those spots where they are going to, if those numbers don't come up, call Anthony Richardson a bust. I think I would be willing to say he's a bust if your expectations were Anthony Richardson is going to come in and elevate a mediocre at best football roster to the AFC championship game. If that is what you expected, sure, a bust. But I put Anthony Richardson, as I do many other highly drafted quarterbacks, Trevor Lawrence, Bryce Young, Caleb Williams, into this group of, if you believe that a quarterback by himself, especially as a rookie/second-year guy, is going to take over a bad roster, especially if that roster is poorly coached. Trevor Lawrence, Justin Fields is in that group. I don't know what to tell you. You can give me Dale Earnhardt Sr. If I put him in a Corolla, he's not winning the Daytona 500. He just doesn't have the equipment necessary to do it. Now, I could put Dale Sr. into, like, a third-tier NASCAR company car. The equipment's good enough to win with a great wheel man behind it. And maybe he could go win that race. But if I put him behind a Corolla, the equipment's not there. I just don't think Anthony Richardson's had the equipment. Now, you also have to, we're still going to be talking about the tapping out of a game thing. Like, it is more than fair to question the headstrong of Anthony Richardson. But I think the Colts are, I think they're a 5, maybe 6-win team this year. They're just not there yet. Scott Steichen's the right guy. They need another year of roster building. Cincinnati at Philly. We all know what the Philadelphia Eagles are. Now, I have prognosticated, sorry, James, love your brother, a couple of times. I honestly think the Eagles are taking a step back. In fairness, taking a step back still has them as an NFC championship contender. I just don't think it's going to look like it did last year. My theory is Saquon Barkley was the heart and soul of that offense. You know how I know that? Because what has been the primo conversation about the Eagles this year? Is Jalen Hurts a good quarterback or not? We know what he can do. The man can squat a Buick. The tush bush is elite because of and only because of Jalen Hurts. But is he a good quarterback? And as much as I think that that is a very first take, hot take type subject.
It's been asked since he's been in college.
It absolutely has. I genuinely feel, as much as I try to avoid those debate me bro topics in sports, I honestly think this one's fair. So I think this year what you will see against Philly is a lot more stacking the box, a lot more let's take Saquon away from the Eagles and let's make Jalen Hurts beat us with his arm. And we are going to find out this year if he is or is not. We'll see. The two dark horse teams, the Raiders and the Seahawks, I think both are. I do not think either is in contention yet for a conference championship or Super Bowl bid. I do think the Raiders, with the defense they've built, with Ashton Jante in the backfield, with Geno Smith, pairing up with Pete Carroll, who he's had success under, I do think they're very interesting. And the Seattle Seahawks. Did Kevin O'Connell make Sam Darnold, or did Sam Darnold make Sam Darnold? If Sam Darnold made Sam Darnold, the Seahawks will be good this year. Not dark horse. They'll just be good. If Kevin O'Connell made Sam Darnold, as I theorized that he did last year, Seattle's not going to be good. I'm interested to see what these teams look like. I'm also interested to talk to buddy of the show, Lulu Kesson of the Greenville News, who makes her triumphant return to the airwaves in the next segment to talk some South Carolina Gamecock football. We talk a lot of college football in the next hour of the show here on the Big Daddy Brown Show. The Rob Brown Show with me and with Sports Flash Chef Supreme, the great one Lonzo.
Please, someone make it stop.
Big Daddy Brown.
No. The Atlanta Braves were swept by the Milwaukee Brewers, taking a 5-4 loss at home yesterday. Spencer Strider was tagged with the loss, giving up 11 hits and 5 runs across 4.2 innings. Atlanta had 8 hits, but put runners in scoring position for just 5 at-bats. Up next for the Braves is a 5-game homestand against Miami starting today. New England Patriots head coach Mike Vrabel was bloodied after jumping into a fight between his team and the Washington Commanders during a joint practice yesterday. Vrabel dove into the pile trying to separate players and ended up with blood across his face and was seen later in practice holding an ice pack. LA Dodgers star Shohei Ohtani pitched 4 dominant innings in a 5-2 loss to St. Louis, but the highlight of the night was Ohtani's 1,000th career hit. Ohtani sent a deep ball out of the stadium at 109.5 miles per hour for a home run number 39 on the season.
Hey, it's Jill Schlesinger, CBS News business analyst and certified financial planner. You may have heard me dispensing financial advice on the radio before, but did you know you can get my money tips on demand with my podcast, Money Watch with Jill Schlesinger? If you have a question about a major financial decision in your life, this is the show for you. Follow and listen to Money Watch with Jill Schlesinger on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.